And I feel like that there is an awakening. And I pray that the awakening would start with us and spill over to our town and our state and our country, to the world, because we need the Lord. And what a great time to worship and praise Him. I want us to focus on worship like we never focused before. You know, our prayer time, that's part of the lesson Sunday, talked about 7 acts of worship, that how important it is for worship instead of going through the motions of prayer. Sometimes we mark time in prayer and we, you know, feel like we've got to put in a certain time and a certain, but let's change from that. And in this lesson tonight, it's gonna challenge you, and it's challenging me. And so hopefully we can step, you know, think outside the box and operate in a different way than perhaps we've always done. You know my love for books and especially for Andy Andrews. I think Pastor Jason, that's one of his favorite authors also. But he's got a new book out, and it's called The Bottom of the Pool. And so I just am happening to be reading that, and so I guess part of this is coming from that book. I feel like, you know, certain times you read stuff, certain times you look at things, and it's an opportune time for the Lord to speak to you, and so I feel this is. He relates a story that as a kid, they spent their summers in the pool. And he talked about how that the parents would always tell the kids, now, stay away from the deep part. You know, get in the shallow part. And he said it was a phenomenon that when you watched and the kids would go into the deep part, the parents would stand up. And they would watch until they come out of that deep part. So it's just part of there's a certain fear of being in that deep part of the pool. And so the parents would drop these kids off every day, and they would stay playing in the pool all day long. And they played several games, and some of them that they invented. One of the games they played, they called it Dolphin, because they had seen that somewhere that in a show, that water show, that the dolphins would actually get up kind of on the top of the water and kind of dance on the water, you know, and so that's what they were doing. They'd see who could stay out of the water, who could get out of the water and stay out the highest. And so each kid would go under the water and jump out up in the air, kind of mimic a dolphin, and whoever jumped the highest would win. So they would play that over and over and over. And there, in his story, he said there was one big kid, and he had big hands and big feet. He was just big, and he would win every time. And said that for 2 years, nobody beat this kid. And said all the other kids would watch him closely, and they would copy his movements. They would copy his action. They'd cup their hand like maybe he cupped his. They'd put their feet like they watched him put his feet. And so one day, one of the kids got the bright idea to go to the very bottom of the pool after 2 years of losing every day. He went to the bottom of the pool, and he crouched, and he kicked off from the bottom. And as he broke the water, he was screaming and yelling because he knew he had won. And said he beat the record by a long shot, far surpassing anything that had ever been done simply because he discovered another way. For years, a couple of years, each one of them tried to perfect what or copy what they had seen the winner do. And hoping that each time it would be different, and they got better at it, but they still couldn't beat him. So with that in mind, I want to challenge us in this lesson. Not just go to the bottom of the pool, but to think differently, to expand, to find new depths in Jesus Christ. We're calling for an awakening. We're calling to rise and shine, for the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For our hearts to be stirred, for us to be moved by the message of Jesus Christ, for us to understand that our worship is not just to some thing or you know, sometimes we just worship, but not to just worship, not just to be involved for because that's what we do and because that's what we've come to expect, but find new ways to give God glory and honor he deserves, to find new ways to reach out to the Lord. So to do that, we must be willing to change. Oh, there's that word, change. Now, understand, not truth. We can't ever change the truth, can we? The truth has been fought for. The truth has been discovered in Revelation. The truth has been has something that we must never dilute or even relinquish, the truth that we have found. And it's, you know, it just breaks my heart. It just hits me really, really hard to hear if people have gone back on the truth. People that know and understand that there is only one God, and his name is Jesus. And to somehow maybe even not embrace Trinitarian thinking, but to follow after somehow that way. We must hunger for God, and we must know the truth. We must seek the truth. We must search for God in ways we've never approached before. And so I'm going to talk to us a little bit, and I've got a long lesson. I don't know how far we'll get in it. We may just brainstorm a little bit and see where this goes. But in Psalms 42 and 7, it reads like this: Deep calleth unto deep. At the noise of thy waterspouts, all thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. Okay, something challenging to us. Deep calls to deep. Deep leads to deeper, so to speak. Look, deep, according to Strong's Concordance, is an abyss, a surging mass of water. I've always thought of deep just maybe as a black hole somewhere, but it's a surging mass of water, the depth of the water. We have a part of the living water through Jesus Christ. We've gained the living water. So look at Psalms 107. Gives us a detailed account of those that desperately needed God and cried out to him. It's the whole chapters. You've heard it. We've read it before. We've talked about it. I've taught lessons on it. I've taught messages, preached messages using this. But it is a tremendous, tremendous Psalms, and it talks about people that forget about God for a little while, and they get in trouble, and they cry out to the Lord, and they call out to God, and God steps in and rescues them. And so The psalmist tried to encourage people to praise the Lord for his goodness and his wonderful works to the children of men. In fact, the psalmist repeats that same phrase four different times. Oh, that men would praise the Lord. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and his wonderful works to the children of men. Four different times. Four different scenarios. Four different places where it talks about how God delivered, how God helped, how God stepped in simply because people were in a bind, people were in trouble, and they called out to him. Now, notice this in Psalms 107 and verse number 24. It says, "These see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep." Okay? Let's look at that just a moment. Who are these that see his works and his wonders in the deep? Who are these folks? Well, I know this is going to be sound pretty deep, but they are those that go to the deep. Okay? How'd I do, Sister Patty? Thank you. So how do they do that? They get there, according to the Psalms that we just read a verse or two earlier, they get there by sacrificing the sacrifices of thanksgiving. They get there by thanksgiving and rejoicing in the telling or the testimony of the Lord's wonderful works. Now, in the old days, we'd have a lot of testimonies. In fact, every service would have testimony service. Say, what are you saying, Pastor, that we need to go back to those days? No, not particularly that one. Because I remember when I was a kid that they'd have testimony service and one individual would stand up and testify for. We timed him one time. 45 minutes. 45 minutes. He spent most of his time crying and proclaiming something about way out in the wilderness. As a kid, I didn't know who he was talking about. Didn't know what he was referring to. But he was very passionate about it for 45 minutes. And you remember stories and got to the point that where it was non-productive in a service to do that. But it cannot be to a point where it is not working in our lives. We must testify about Jesus Christ and about his goodness and his wonderful works to the children of men. You know, we get in a mode where we preach to ourselves, we testify to ourselves, we rejoice among ourselves and feel very happy about that. And that's okay. That's fine that we do that. But let's think a little bit different. Let's look outside the box just a little bit. The psalmist said, "These see the wonders of the deep. They see it because of their giving thanksgiving to the Lord. They see it because of their giving a testimony of the goodness of God." We need to declare and we need to write these things down that the Lord does for us. And we need to testify to our fellow man. We need to testify of the goodness of God, of the mercies of God, of the presence and the power of God that God works so often. I'll never forget many years ago. And I think it was about 27 or 8 years ago, maybe, perhaps. And I felt like that the Lord wanted to give me a message. And so I said, I took somebody with me, And so I said, they said, where are you going? I said, I'm going to a place that sells or rents scuba diving equipment. I said, I'm very interested. What I hear there or something about that is going to be the bulk of the message I'm going to preach. So we were driving around, and I pulled into this place, and I said, tell me everything that you can about scuba diving. I'm really interested in it. And he said, what are you going to do? You want to take lessons? I said, no, not right now. I said, I'm a preacher, and I want to preach a message. And I feel like it's going to be something in that I learn in scuba diving. And he said, there's a phrase that all scuba divers know, that that's the first thing they learn. I said, what is that phrase? He said, well, it's called rapture of the deep. I said, there's my message, rapture of the deep. And what he went on to proclaim that a certain depth, the body loses all recognition of everything. At a certain depth, a certain amount of pressure that you go down through, your chemicals in your brain change, I guess, and different things happen. And it's called the rapture of the deep because you might just take off the breathing apparatus. You might just throw it away because, you know, you're convinced you don't really need it down there. And it's a danger because he said that's the first thing we tell about that. You got to make sure. How far you go, you cannot go past this. You know, experienced divers can go to a certain, but especially those that are just learning must not. In fact, they stop them many, many feet from that. And so you know, in that message, I believe that I remember I said it was in the old church. And my office was in the back, very back of the church. And so anybody remember that message here? Hey, we got a few. Yes, we do. And so I had all of the scuba diving equipment. He let me have it for the weekend. And so I had it in my office. And so I said I'd read my text and mentioned a thing or two, and I said, excuse me for just a minute. And it got really quiet. They thought, what's happened to him? Something's gone wrong. So I went into my office, I put that scuba diving gear on and came out and preached that message. And in it is that we must get so deep in the Lord Jesus Christ that we forget about everything. We must go to a depth in him that the ordinary things do not matter. And so I feel that for this group of people, our church, to fully awaken to the presence of God, it will be found in our worship to the Lord. It will be found in our looking to the Lord and as we begin to worship him and as we turn our worship totally to him. And not just going through the motions as we worship him. And so I want to read a couple of scriptures. In Job chapter 12 and verse number 22 says, he discovereth deep things out of darkness and bringeth out to light the shadow of death. Now this is some real understanding here. Darkness here means misery, destruction, and sorrow. And it brings them from the shadow of death. The shadow of death, where it seems like death is a certain thing. There's a shadow over that's reflecting that death is there. We discover deep things in some of our most disappointing times, in some of our most troubling times, the trouble or the trial we feel is worthless. in fact, reveals joy and hope that couldn't be found anywhere else. We love the good times. We love the highs. And you're saying, Pastor, what are you saying? That we need to enjoy our misery? Well, I'm not going to go that far. But let us understand it for what it is. Let us begin to glory in the Lord in times of trouble, in times of trial, in times of difficulty. Let us begin to call out to Him, and let us begin to bring pure worship before Him like never before, because He's going to reveal to us some things. When things don't really work out on the job, when things don't really work out in your life, when there's obstacles there, don't moan and complain and groan about how life has done this to you or whatever. Perhaps the Lord is taking you to another level. Perhaps He's taking you to another place in Him. Amen. We discover those deep things. We understand that life is not worthless. What we go through is not just a waste of time. But there cannot be the testimony we understand without the test. Daniel chapter 2, verse 22. He revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth in Him. Daniel says he reveals deep and secret things. You know, he revealed deep and secret things when he said, when it was declared that they were going to kill all of the wise men off. Daniel, you're one of these guys too. All of them, wipe them out because they couldn't tell the dream. But Daniel prayed and God gave him the secret. He reveals the secret things, the deep, profound truth, if you will. He reveals deep truth in those things. How is this revealed? Well, for understanding, let's go to God's Word, then we'll talk about it. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse number 9 says, "But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him." You have not seen. Your eyes have not seen. Your ears have not heard. It's not even entered into your mind what God has for you. God has some tremendous things available for your life. God has some tremendous blessings available for you. Now listen, verse 10. Now it gives us understanding, but God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things. Yes, the deep things of God. Now let me remind us again. Eyes have not seen. Ears have not heard. You've never even thought about it, much less dreamed about it. But God reveals them unto us by the Spirit. So what is this scripture telling us? What kind of message would the Lord be trying to reveal to us? Very simple. Get in the Spirit. Step into the Spirit. Go to the Spirit. The Spirit reveals mysteries. Oh, hallelujah. The Spirit reveals mysteries. as we as we step aside here for just a second, open it up for just a moment. How do you get into the Spirit? Can anybody help me?
Prayer.
Okay, that's pretty obvious. It must be prayer, right? Okay, through prayer. Okay, Brother Sam. Okay, and that's through prayer. Okay, give me some more input. Deny the flesh. Okay. What's the first thing you want to do when you pray? Check your phone. Look at the door. Oh, I just forgot. If I pull this up and see, I was going to think about this. You're reminded of everything when you go to prayer. Everything comes to mind. Things that or you need to call somebody. Okay. Thanksgiving. Okay. All right. Cleansing of the mind. Okay, intentional. All right. Somebody else? Anybody else have anything to offer? Anybody? How many times, I don't know that, I don't know how to really phrase this question. How many times, I'll just say it, how many times do you intentionally seek to pray in tongues? Now, realistically, with me, it's almost when I start praying, I can speak in tongues. It just comes. You know, it just starts. And at times I think, man, that's a cop-out. I need to say things. I need to declare things. And we do. We do need to speak certain things. But we also need, I think it's the devil trying to stop us. We also need just to pray in tongues. I think it's very necessary for us. And how many times do we begin to speak in tongues? Do we begin to pray in tongues? And suddenly, we're lost. That's when the Spirit speaks some deep things. You know, this. Sister Grace says I get it from Ross Perot, the deal. So here's the deal. So I guess I finally recognize where I got that from. It's not mine. I got it from good old Brother Ross. So here's the deal. You know me with these angels around the church house. You know, periodically, this place is full of shadows that are flickering and things that, well, today in prayer, I go by the nursery and something steps out right before me. Oh, I feel cold chills and I felt it then. I knew that it was the Spirit of the Lord, knew that it was here. How many times is the Lord moving where you are? How many times that you've felt the hair stand upon the back of your neck and it's almost like you felt a fear? Relax. Ease back. The Lord loves you. It's not something about to get you. But many times what that is that's the supernatural that you can't put your finger on. You can't put... Can I tell you a little story? Now, this may be crazy, This may be the goofiest thing you have ever heard in your life. But I don't think I've told it yet, but I've told the kids. In working on our house, the new house, before we moved in a week or two, I had, of course, for a while I had locks on all the doors, and so I locked the door and I gave a key to my builder, and then I gave a key to my framer, which was my builder's brother, and I had a key and my wife had a key, and that's the only people that had a key. And so we go over there one Saturday afternoon, and Sister Mac and I are working. She's cleaning, and I'm just messing around doing whatever needs to be done, because there was still a lot of stuff and some touch-up paint and some things and some doorknobs and things to put on. And so I go into the guest bathroom, and I see that it's got pocket doors, and there's these door locks that have really bugged me, because this door lock was hard to turn, and you'd try to turn it, and it was really hard. So I got me doing what a man of my talents and understanding, deep understanding. If things don't work like that, you get some pliers. Obviously, you can fix anything with pliers. And so I worked a little bit on it, and so I discovered that pliers was not the thing to do, that there was something there that was holding that back. And so I tore it all apart, and piece by piece, I put it back together. I took my drill, and I drilled some places around it to where make sure that stuff in there was moving good and everything. And so I worked on that for 30 minutes, and I got really bored with it, as sometimes I do. And so I pulled all the stuff out, the lock out. I pitched it over on the counter, left it there. Said, I'm done with that today. Tomorrow when I come back, I'll be a little fresher, be a little sharper of mind. You know, after Sunday service, I'll be ready to tackle this, I'm sure, after being with the Lord. And so I come back on Sunday, and I go through there, and I open up, and I get my stuff, and the door lock's on, working perfectly. Just as nice as you can imagine. So I told my wife, I said, well, Roger's been here. That's the builder. Roger's been here. He's worked on it. And so I had an opportunity that week to talk to Roger. And I said, hey, did you come fix my pocket door? No, I haven't been by your house. Okay. Must have been Mike, my framer, because he's the one that put it in. I said, Mike, did you come by Saturday, work on my pocket door? No, I didn't come Saturday. Did you work on my pocket door? What's wrong with it? I said, did you not see that I'd taken the lock out? And no, I didn't know anything was wrong with your pocket door. So, to make a long story longer, I don't know who fixed it. Nobody else could get in. The doors are locked. Except unless Sister Mac's holding out on me, and she took the tools over there and worked on that. But just think about it. There may be somebody may have broke in and just to fix that lock. You know, nothing has ever been missed over there. Nothing has ever been bothered. Nothing was bothered that day. It was just, and so Sister Mac asked me, she said, are you sure that you didn't fix that before you left? And I said, I'm positive. Without a doubt, I know I didn't do that. Brother Sam, did I see your hand? You know, there may be a logical explanation for that, but I don't know what it is. But I know that God can do all things. And I know that it's nothing with God to step in and do something like that. But you know, when you begin to look at it, that's a story, and that's something that has been on my mind. I've been meaning to tell you about it, but there's just simply not seemed to be an opportunity. But I know something else. I know that many, many times God has done things for you that you were never even aware that it was Him. God has stepped in for you in many, many instances. Just for a moment, what could have been Sunday afternoon with Mike being hit head on with a car? What could it have been? You know, I worry about that all the time, and so we were here, and I heard the sirens going toward 59. Fire truck went. I guess it came from Prairie Grove, and flew by, and then I looked up, and there was a state trooper screaming by, and I looked at Sister Mac, and I said, "Oh no, Brother Mike. I'm afraid Brother Mike's been in a wreck." But you know what? Isn't the hand of the Lord awesome? His angels are around about us. Even when we do certain times that we do dumb stuff. Now, I'm not saying Mike at this time did dumb stuff. But sometimes we do crazy things, and the Lord steps in for us. And how many times has God done something incredible for us? So let's stop just a moment. We're talking about the deep things of God. We're talking about the depth of God. Anybody got a story about the goodness of God, Brother Larson? Wow. Man, what a great miracle of God. Don't ever do that anymore. Sister Grace. Wow. Praise the Lord. Somebody else like to share, sister? Dear Lord. Wow. Wow. We're talking about the Lord. Somebody else? Sister Lindsay? Amen. Amen. Yes. Wow. Somebody else like to share something, Brother Keith? Thank you. Wow. Somebody else like to share something? Sister? You've got the softest voice in the world.
My car had gotten hot, and nobody would stop to help. And I thought, well, Lord, why isn't somebody stopping to help? I mean, there was trucks just flying by, you know, going by, but nobody would stop. And I was sitting there, and it kept getting darker and darker. And I thought, I don't know what to do. I mean, we didn't have cell phones back then, so you couldn't call nobody. And I was sitting there, and as it got darker, I looked over to this road that came out the other side. And there was a light shone down into that. It reminded me of the light you see in those pictures with Jesus. There was a light that just beamed right down into this puddle of water. And I looked at that puddle of water, and I thought, you know, down there they have what they call caliche roads. And I know that that water will not be muddy or anything. And I just so happened to have a pot in the back of my car, in the trunk, and my boys had taken auto mechanics. And so they knew how to handle a hot car. And they got water out of that puddle and put in my radiator. And we left water in the puddle. I didn't get it all. And we put water in that car, and we went on to church. And I knew that was God that had supplied my need.
Amen. Praise God. Anybody else? Anybody? Well, praise the Lord. How good God is. How awesome is His name. Think about that for a moment. His name means salvation. Jesus Christ is our Savior. Shouldn't we want to worship Him more than we ever have before? Shouldn't we want to lift up our praises to Him in ways that we've never praised before? Listen, in just a few short days, we're starting revival services with Brother Green on Saturday night at 7 o'clock, Sunday morning at 10, and Sunday night at 5. Let's make this one of the most incredible revivals that there ever was. How do we do that? When we're ready, when we're worshiping, and we're praising, to give God our very, very best. Amen? Praise the Lord. So as we close this service tonight, why don't we just stand together? You've heard of the miracle-working God. You've heard of the things that God has done for people. Let's be quick to mark those. Let's remember those. And let's tell it to someone else. All right? Praise God. Could we just lift up our voice to the Lord?